Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. I am your host, Neil Horwitz. You can find me on Twitter at NJH287. Hit me up on LinkedIn as well, where I also post content. Visit the website, dsmsports.net, for more episodes and content. And, of course, check out the podcast on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Subscribe and all that good stuff. Super cool show for you guys today. I really enjoyed talking to today's guest. We're going to be talking to Jared Wilson. He is the manager of social media content for Buffalo Wild Wings. We talk a lot about Buffalo Wild Wings, how they work, how a restaurant works, especially one that's involved in the sports conversation, and what 2020 has been like, his time with the Atlanta Hawks, and all the great stuff he did there. So stick around for that conversation with Jared. But first, a word on mental health. This past weekend was World Mental Health Day, and it's definitely an important subject, one that Jared and I discussed a little bit in our interview today. But certainly one that that hits close to home for social media and sports pros in particular, who may be listening to this podcast, because you know, it truly is a 24/7 job. It really is something that has you working nights, working weekends, working holidays, missing time with family and perhaps with friends. So mental health is, you know, important for anybody in any job, but speaking to the digital and social media and even just sports business industry in general, it's really important to take care of a few things. First, you know, be willing to step back, especially in the social media game. You have to be willing to, especially as you grow, be able to delegate. Be willing to delegate, not have to push send on every little post that goes out. You have to develop some trust with your colleagues, whether that's more junior colleagues or more senior colleagues, to take the rope sometimes so you can unplug, you can step away, you can forget about the channels for at least a few minutes, if not a few hours, if not a few days, or a few weeks sometimes. And also keep track of the work that you're doing, meaning, you know, take some time, maybe it's just 1 week or a few days here and there, and try to keep track of how long did I spend on something. That way you can communicate with your colleagues, with your peers, with your superiors on this is approximately how long it takes to get this quality product out, so that you're not being, you know, assigned a workload that's not unreasonable. You can take care to focus on things that you can do in a reasonable amount of time and not have to work 24/7, even though you may end up doing so. And it's important to know that, you know, yes, you can always do more in social media and sports. There's always another, you know, comment to reply to, or to check, or a document. There's always a message to send. There's always another post to make. There's always next content to work on, or content to create out of thin air to develop some more and produce some more engagement. But you have to be willing to not focus on every little activity, and look for home runs, look for those extra base hits, and not just focus on taking swings every single minute. And be willing to step back, because it's important and your mental health is important. So a few little tips there, but you know, certainly I'm a work in progress. We're all a work in progress in this space when you are working nights, weekends, holidays, and all that, and certain long hours some days for sure. And it can be a stressful job, and just like any job, but you know, this is one that's certainly very unique. So take a step back, consider your mental health, make sure that you talk about it. That's the hardest part. That's the place to start, is just talk about it with colleagues and make it a real thing. But more importantly, or just as importantly, I guess, for you listeners, stick around for a fantastic interview with Jared Wilson of Buffalo Wild Wings. Back from this episode's opening segment, and I am so psyched for today's guest. We could have just recorded what we just talked about offline, just in preparation for this conversation, but we'll get started now. I'm joined on the podcast today by Jared Wilson. He's the manager of social media content for Buffalo Wild Wings. And welcome to the podcast today, Jared.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here. This is awesome.
Really psyched to pick your brain. You have a really impressive background, and you're still young in this game. Have done a lot of really cool stuff, and we're excited to learn all about it. But before we get into the meat of our discussion, tell us about your background, your career path, getting started in school, the various jobs you've had along the way, getting the job at Buffalo Wild Wings, and any tips for folks that want to do what you do?
Sure. Yeah, that's a lot, but I'll try to make it brief as to not bore people. I majored in journalism at the University of Missouri. Go J School, go Tigers.
Oh yeah.
Writing has always been a passion of mine and still is. And so, you know, journalism was for me something that I had been interested in since high school, you know, working on the student newspaper and, you know, into college. I just really enjoy writing and telling stories. I was in journalism, and as I was going kind of through the conversion sequence at Missouri, I realized that social media, which was kind of really just starting to become a tool for brands at the time, You know, I realized that was really where I wanted to play, and I thought there was some opportunity there. After college, I you know, threw out a bunch of applications, as most you know, graduates do, and got lucky, landed a gig as the content manager for Fox 21 News, which is a Fox TV affiliate in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Worked out there for a couple of years, primarily on the website, but also kind of, you know, leading their social media efforts. And you know, it was in the vein of journalism and news, which is kind of where I had built most of my background in school. You know, as I was kind of going through it, I realized that it wasn't necessarily my passion. You know, sports is my passion. For anyone who knows me, you know, they know that I'm a big sports nut, and I really wanted to kind of transition into a sports related position, something that, you know, still allowed me to showcase some writing talent, allowed me to maybe play in social media, but was really more sports focused. And you know, after a couple of years working out in Colorado, I decided it was time to make that shift. So you know, I started talking with some folks and you know, putting out some applications, thinking that, you know, okay, maybe since I don't have a ton of experience in the sports, you know, industry, maybe something like a Division II college working in their athletic department could be a way for me to get into it. You know, as it turned out, the track went much faster than that. I was able to, you know, get an interview and eventually a job with the Atlanta Hawks, which was completely unexpected, but, you know, I was thrilled, moved down to Atlanta. And I've been in Atlanta now for 8 years and, you know, worked at the Hawks for 5.5 and then, you know, as you said, made my way over to Buffalo Wild Wings, which is, you know, still a little bit of sports focus, but a new challenge for me and a little bit of a change in career path. And that's where I am now.
Yeah, really interested to hear about that move and what it's like to go from, you know, the world of a sports team to the world of a brand and something like Buffalo Wild Wings. But I want to start just, you know, you really left a huge mark on NBA Twitter and, you know, sports social media in general in your time with the Hawks. So I'd love to dig into a little bit there. And tell me about, like, when you did first get to the Hawks, like, what was social media and sports like at the time for them as an organization, for the NBA perhaps? And, you know, did they have – the Hawks today have a very well-developed brand and voice and, you know, certainly did when you were there. And what was that sort of state of the union like for social media for the Hawks when you did get there? And what were kind of some of the goals early on for your role?
Yeah, good question. So when I did my interview with the director who ended up hiring me, you know, I think we were really on the same page about, you know, some of the pitfalls of where the Hawks social media was. And it was really a byproduct of resources. You know, they hadn't had anyone dedicated to my position before me. It was a new position that they had created. And I think they realized they needed someone who was, you know, 100% dedicated to social media and really building the brand and building the voice, you know, as social was really kind of, you know, becoming more than a PR tool for a lot of brands. You know, yeah, it was becoming a tool that really, you could express yourself. You know, the tools themselves evolved, right? In terms of the things that you were able to do on a Twitter or an Instagram, you know, or even like a Snapchat at the time that maybe, you know, you weren't able to do before. And, you know, we were really aligned there. Like the Hawks, you know, we saw an opportunity that, you know, we could develop a fan-centric voice, you know, be the voice of a Hawks fan and really kind of empathize with fans as they kind of went along their fandom journey, as opposed to just kind of being an extension of a PR arm, which, you know, to that point, a lot of brands, that's what they were using social for. So, so that was a fun challenge. And, you know, I think we were a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of how sports teams and leagues managed that. There were a couple of teams in various leagues that had done a good job, but a lot of them, you know, hadn't really shifted that way yet. And then obviously, you know, now and shortly after we started, a lot of them were, and a lot of them followed. So it was really cool to see.
Was PR and even moving up, maybe up higher in the food chain to, you know, whether GM or ownership, were they kind of part of that discussion? Were they in on it? Like, I think the Hawks just did such a great job early on of to your point, speaking like a fan. And when the team was getting destroyed, you know, you guys didn't, you know, dance away from it. You didn't just put up a final score graphic and call it a day, and vice versa. That made the good times even more fun. You guys ran with the good times. And were, you know, cheering along with your fans to some degree. So how'd you kind of get that, whether it's trust, so you can act a bit autonomously, or direct buy them, like, this is what we're going to do with our brand, with our voice on social media. And we hope that it's going to align with what we're doing as an organization.
Yeah, I would say there were definitely some challenges there. You know, I think front offices are generally skeptical of marketing. I think that's just kind of how it is. You know, they're very focused on protecting the team, the players, the staff, you know, and making sure that, you know, there's nothing that's going to kind of impede that. And I think, you know, PR departments in particular are in a really tough spot. And I think there's teams are doing better about connecting that. But when we started, you know, they were very much in favor of us creating a voice and really, you know, talking about the team in a positive way and in an authentic way. But they had to manage the, you know, our expectations with the expectations of, you know, the front office, which is, you know, really all about, you know, we don't want any distractions and we want to make sure that the team and the players are the primary focus of the organization. So, you know, there were some slip ups and some hiccups along the way where we butted heads a little bit. And I think, you know, most social managers for sports teams or leagues or brands will tell you that that's not uncommon. You know, that's going to happen when you have people who are, you know, experts in different areas trying to kind of, you know, give their opinions on what the space should be about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was about building the brand. And I think, you know, to, like you mentioned earlier, we did it. And, you know, I think we got a reputation as a brand that had a really fun, savvy social voice that was one of those, you know, must follows. And that's, you know, we take a lot of pride in that. I think, you know, we're proud of the work we did. And, you know, looking back on it, it was a really fun time. And I think we grew the brand.
Totally. And I think, you know, I mean, heck, we're talking it right now to put a date on this a little bit. It's, you know, it's Brand Week, and Ad Week is having their series of panels and discussions with some of the top CMOs and brand marketers all over. And there's a lot of discussion around the value of brand marketing. And as we get more and more data driven in marketing, that we can't lose sight of the fact that there is this longer term, this overarching brand that we're constantly stewarding and trying to grow. And, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, whatever how your Instagram performs this week is not necessarily indicative of, you know, how is your brand from a long-term and macro view perspective. So when you think about how you are measuring success and how you're showing that, hey, what we're doing is moving the needle, whether that's more conversation about the Hawks, you know, a different perception of the brand, like, how'd you guys seek to measure success both, you know, with hard data and without?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit easier, but certainly not, you know, foolproof in terms of how you can measure that. I think the brand over time and kind of the long game, like you mentioned, is really what we were after. And I think we established that with some quick wins. You know, I think the earned media stuff that we got, you know, being mentioned on SportsCenter or being written about in USA Today or, you know, being named a top brand in Google, you know, whatever the quick wins and the earned media we would get, you know, those things are always great. And really those are tangible, you know, examples to share that what we're doing is working, but it's hard to really tell, what the brand over time is. I mean, certainly you can, you know, we looked at things like engagement rate, you know, we looked at things like, you know, conversation sentiment, all those things moved in a positive direction. And, you know, I think we kind of took that as, okay, this is, you know, what we're doing is working. The voice we have is working. The content we're putting out there is working. And it's, you know, like you said, it's a little bit more difficult to tie that into direct business results in terms of how that equates to dollars. We got a little bit better at that as kind of time progressed and as technology improved. But yeah, I think that there's always going to be a little bit of, skepticism about, you know, is this driving the bottom line of the business? But certainly we feel like from a brand health standpoint, we were making improvements.
No, totally. I mean, win or lose, you know, I think everyone was always interested in what the Hawks were doing, whether they were winning on the court or not. And that says a lot that, you know, in social and in sports marketing in general, you know, we can't control whether the team wins or loses, but we can control whether fans and the general public, you know, give a crap about the team, about the brand. And they always did and always do about the Hawks. And I'm looking forward to hearing about what that brand is like for Buffalo Wild Wings. But before we get there, I want to touch on something that that really I think about a lot looking back on the Hawks. And even when I did speak to Micah Hart on this podcast way back when, who was, you know, director of social media at the time for the Hawks as well. And that is how you guys really kicked ass when the spotlight was brightest. And it's almost like you were ready for those moments. I mean, I think everyone remembers, I think of the Hawks when you were there, and it's hard not to picture the Twitter handle name or the Twitter display name with all the W's during that massive winning streak. So tell me about, like, how intentional was that of kind of being ready for those moments, being ready for those, whether it is a winning streak, whether it is a playoff run, whether it is a trade acquisition, you know, how did you guys prepare, and how do you also leave a little bit of room for spontaneity as well?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of a lot of things, you know, and there's so much going through my head right now, so this may be a longer answer than what you're looking for. But, you know, I think it started with the fact that we had a lot of creative people on our team. Micah, who's, you know, I consider him my mentor. He's one of the most creative people I know, and someone who always had ideas. I think, if I remember correctly, that you know, putting all the W's in the Twitter name was his idea. And then, you know, when we ran out of characters – and we needed to find, you know, we had more wins than we had Twitter characters. And so we had to figure out how to adjust. And I think moving the W's into the avatar to kind of keep them going, I think that was Melissa Proctor's idea. And she's the chief marketing officer there. And, you know, she wasn't even dedicated to the digital team, but she had that great idea. And again, we always said good ideas can come from anywhere. So, you know, that's, you know, two examples right there of, you know, people contributing great ideas. And we had several others from other folks in the company as well that ended up doing really, really well. Mm-hmm. In terms of your question on you know, being prepared and kind of proactive versus reactive, you know, I've always said that the best content on social media is the reactive content. You know, you can plan all you want for content, and I'm, you know, certainly not saying that prepared and proactive content doesn't do well, because we've seen countless examples where it does. But you know, people talk about moments in real time and they react to moments in real time. And if you, as a brand, are able to react to those same moments and tie it into your organization, and you know, with the Hawks, obviously it was easy because it was sports and it was you know, games being played. That's where I think you really win. And, you know, some of it was stuff that, you know, scenario planning. So, you know, hey, if this happens, we want to do this. And, you know, we had a lot of ideas that we never ended up doing, because they were based on, oh, we have to win this game for this to work, or you know, this player has to score 30 points or it won't make sense, or, you know, the score has to be exactly this for this to, you know, to be topical or to reference it, whatever. So there was a lot of stuff that we ended up not using, but I think, you know, being prepared with some of those scenarios is important. But also, like, you know, my strength, I think, is just, you know, coming up with stuff as things happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a situation happens, a game, you know, a player, a trade, or, you know, a draft, whatever, and you know, trying to kind of think of those, you know, interesting content moments that you can react to. You know, I think there's definitely something to be said for the spontaneity there, like you said, and being able to do that. So I think it's a balance.
Totally. And it's a perfect segue too, I think, into talking about Buffalo Wild Wings and making the move there, because you guys very much, as a brand, I think people come to think of Buffalo Wild Wings as being part of that conversation during the live games. And it's not unexpected to see a Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, tweet or whatnot during a live game, or even just to be talking about it and thinking about it when a game goes to overtime or whatnot. But I want to step back even from that and just talk about what it was like to make that move from a team to, you know, the Buffalo Wild Wings brand and their organization. You know, what is that for someone that, me, I know the team side fairly well, but not as much the side that you're on now. What does the infrastructure look like for you guys from a social media perspective, whether there's, you know, agencies involved for content creation and sort of some of the day-to-day objectives for you guys for such a big brand?
Yeah, it was an adjustment, no doubt. It was time for me to kind of make a career change and to kind of expand a little bit and try something new. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned a lot in the 2.5 years I've been at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I still have a ton more to learn about just how brands work. I mean, this is the first national brand I've worked for. You know, the Fox job in Colorado, and obviously the Hawks are both local brands, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's fun to be on something national. Obviously, there's a lot more resources involved with the national brand, both from a people perspective, you know, and a money perspective. you know, a lot of brands do use agencies, and Buffalo Wild Wings does as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the process of, for me, of learning how to work with an agency and communicate and, you know, kind of have that day-to-day relationship has been something new for me that I've had to kind of learn. You know, there's a lot with the restaurant industry specifically that I've had to learn in terms of how it's structured and how, you know, how money is allocated and funded and divided, and just how the structure of the team is set up in terms of, you know, you've got obviously marketing, and you've got all, you know, so many different elements of marketing, and you've got, you know, operations, and you've got culinary, and you know, all these things that I've obviously never had to deal with before in terms, yeah, of just learning how the organization functions internally. You know, it's really fascinating and really awesome. And so, yeah, there's been a lot, but it's been nothing but positive for me. It's been a great move, a great change. And, you know, I continue to learn and grow, and yeah.
And how does some of those, whether it's, you know, campaigns or specific goals or promotions, whether you're promoting an app or trying to drive people to go come to a restaurant or trying to, you know, promote a new product or a cool contest you want to have going, like, how does that come together, and where do you fit in? Is just a lot of meetings and collaboration and filling out briefs and product management tools? I mean, shoot, like I'm my head's almost exploding just trying to think about all different people that have to touch something before it goes out from your actual handle. So how does some of that stuff come together for you guys?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, we have a really good go-to-market team that kind of facilitates that whole process of being able to, you know, brief the team or get everybody organized. You know, we've got obviously project owners who are, you know, really responsible for the different things, and obviously they're scattered all throughout the organization depending on what the initiative is. But really it kind of centers on having a really good process, and, you know, our kind of go-to-market team is really in charge of making sure that process is iron tight and keeping everybody in the loop and communicating with everybody. You know, social media is obviously one of many, many arms in the organization, right? And we're involved with a lot, which, right. So, you know, while we're not necessarily leading, a lot of the campaigns, we're certainly involved with all of them because we have to know, right, from a, not only from a marketing and promotion perspective, but also from a customer service perspective. People are going to be asking questions like, hey, you know, what's this? Or, you know, I have a question about this thing or that thing. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to answer all those questions. So it's really valuable for us to be involved with all of that. It's a lot, but it's fun. I mean, it gives you a chance to work with people in different parts of the organization and, you know, connect with different people and learn. I mean, you know, learning about what other people do and what their job roles are, and how they fit into the organization. It's all good.
And what's set up like for you guys from a social media perspective in terms of, is it all just the singular Buffalo Wild Wings brand? Do some stores have their own handles, or are they allowed to? Is there any sort of patrolling going on in that sense of whether, I don't know if it's a franchisee or a store owner is creating their own thing or doing their own thing? Like, how is that sort of structured?
Yeah, you know, a lot of brands do it in different ways, right? Some brands allow their, you know, their individual stores and franchisees to have kind of their own social media presence. Mm-hmm. We believe that we're best with a singular kind of one voice that's coming from the top. So we have a really, really well-developed brand identity, both visually and from a voice perspective. Mm-hmm. And we feel like having it kind of centered and controlled in one spot rather than having a bunch of different accounts is our preference. And again, that's, you know, whether that's the right way or not, it's not, you know, who knows, right? Other brands do it differently and do it really well. But we really like to have everything come from the main handle. So yeah, we're really kind of focused on just, you know, from the corporate side, like being able to put all of our messages out through, you know, our one consistent social, you know, one consistent Instagram, one consistent, you know, Twitter, one consistent Facebook, and, you know, really kind of communicate with one voice and one tone, as opposed to everybody kind of having their own messages out there. So
totally.
It's, you know, it works for us. You know, I think we've done a good job with that. And, you know, it really depends on the organization and the brand.
I think it makes sense. And you know, certainly me as a third party observer, can say that Buffalo Wild Wings does have a very well-defined brand, and part of that is because it's a centralized, singular voice, and it's not a bunch of different people, you know, talking or trying to interpret what they think Buffalo Wild Wings is as a brand. What was that like for you coming in? You've been there, as you said, about two and a half years now, and when you come in and have to learn, this is what Buffalo Wild Wings is. This is how we speak. This is what we're all about. This is how we look. Was that sort of a learning process, or not a learning process, but like you go through just some sort of onboarding to learn all about Buffalo Wild Wings and who we are, what we are, and what we want to be known for? Like, what was that process like for you coming in new?
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting, and I probably should have said this earlier in the podcast, but just for background. So Buffalo Wild Wings is owned by Inspire Brands, or they're part of the Inspire Brands group of restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it started when Arby's decided to buy Buffalo Wild Wings. So when Arby's bought Buffalo Wild Wings, they formed Inspire Brands, and that happened, I want to say it was finalized maybe, I'm going to get the date wrong, but I want to say something like February of 2018. And when that purchase happened, you know, the Arby's leadership team, you know, they were looking for some talent for Buffalo Wild Wings, and social media was one of those places where they were looking to kind of bring some people in. And so I started, you know, 1st of April of 2018. So fortunately, you know, I kind of started on the ground floor of the new Buffalo Wild Wings, is what I'll say. So we had an opportunity to really kind of start from scratch in terms of social. Like we weren't committed or beholden to anything that was done before us. We were able to kind of structure the voice the way we wanted it, the channel strategy the way we wanted it. So rather than having to come in and kind of learn, you know, what the tone of Buffalo Wild Wings social was, or the do's and don'ts or whatever, we kind of got to create that ourselves, which was really exciting. And honestly, it was a little bit similar to how the Hawks went, right? With me, as I mentioned, being the first social person, dedicated social person, on the Hawks team, you know, we got to do a little bit of that there too. And so, you know, I'm a little bit used to, you know, coming onto a brand or an organization and being involved with the setting of the strategy and the, you know, the tone definition, the voice definition. And, you know, there have been some tweaks here and there. You know, we figured out some things that work that don't work, and have made changes. And I think that's always going to happen in this kind of industry. But it was really fun to be a part of that. And, you know, it also, you know, allows me to put my stamp on things in terms of, you know, hey, this is what I believe should be, you know, successful and not successful. It was a fun process.
If I were asking you to sort of define the Buffalo Wild Wings voice, or who you guys want to be on social, I mean, as you said, this has evolved over time, but it's cool to hear about the origin of it. Like, who is Buffalo Wild Wings, and what do you want to represent? Who you want to be on social media? I think I have my ideas as an observer, and I think you've done a good job of defining it. But from your perspective, what are you guys trying to put out there?
Yeah, I mean, we really want to be the place that people can come and kind of hang out and have that, you know, memorable experience while they're watching the game and eating some wings, right? Like, that's kind of the, you know, the loose paraphrase definition of the brand mantra.
And I think
yeah, exactly. So we want to kind of mimic that in social, right? We want to be, you know, a voice that, you know, brings people together for good, and for, you know, for sports and for wings and for, you know, drinks and sauces and all, you know, all the things we're known for. We want to celebrate those moments. And so just creating good times and, you know, having, you know, chiming in and talking about sports and having conversations about the things we're passionate about, like wings and like sports and things. You know, that's really what we want to be about. And we're not, you know, at the Hawks, we have, this is where I've learned a little bit, and have had to kind of pull back, because at the Hawks, you know, since it's a local brand, you kind of have free reign. Not, I won't say free reign, but we had a little bit more of a leeway in terms of being able to be a little bit witty or snarky, I'd say. Because, you know, if we say something negative about the Utah Jazz, it's not like, you know, Utah Jazz fans are spending money with the Atlanta Hawks, right? They're not buying merchandise.
Right.
So if they get pissed off at us, so what? you know, it's obviously different with Buffalo Wild Wings, right? We can't say anything bad about anybody because there's always a fan of somebody out there, right? So if we, you know, if we talk trash about, you know, this team, you know, that fan base is going to be, they're going to be pretty upset, and that could be a business impact in terms of you know, them not wanting to spend their money with us. So we've got to really be careful there, and we have some good guidelines in place to make sure we avoid stuff like that. But it is a little bit different. And it, again, another one of those learning opportunities for me, just kind of growing and realizing, like, you know, the voice here can't be, you know, what it is for local brands or organizations or teams or leagues or whatever. It's got to be a little bit more neutral. But, you know, I still think we've found ways to really make impact with what we've done.
Yeah, no, it's really well put. It's an interesting perspective for sure. Are you still able? I mean, we spoke earlier about kind of that, you know, that real time engagement, that real time ability to insert into conversations. And is that creative ability still there? And knowing that you have the trust, you have this greater, deeper understanding, or is it a little bit more regulated, where you do need to get some stuff up the food chain and can't necessarily, you know, post in the moment as much as you maybe would for a smaller organization or a less national brand, to your point?
Yeah, no, that's certainly been an adjustment. It's not like we can just fire off tweets from our phone during games. I mean, there's definitely a process for how we publish. That is, you know, at the Hawks, it was largely just me kind of thinking about, you know, off the whim, just firing off stuff. You know, that's not the case here. You know, we're very intentional about what we do. And so, there does need to be a set of eyes on what we publish. And ultimately that's a good thing, right? Cause it's a good way for us to, you know, one, have a second set of eyes on anything we're thinking about, because obviously you're not going to be thinking about every scenario at every time, but also, you know, just to kind of, you know, protect everybody. Right. So for me, you know, if I fire something off and somebody gets mad, you know, and I don't take it up the food chain, I don't really have an excuse for why,
right? But
if I've got approval to post it and I post it and someone gets mad, well, then I can kind of point the finger and say, well, hey, that, you know, I got approval on that. That's not, you know, it wasn't just me going off on my own. It's a good process. And again, it kind of goes back to kind of the guidelines we've established, and I think it's a good thing. And, you know, we still want to inject ourselves in culture and sports and conversations. You know, we just have to kind of do it in a little bit more of an intentional way.
Oh, it totally makes sense. And just a few more minutes left here with Jared Wilson, manager of social media content for Buffalo Wild Wings. I'll link to this episode's shareable stat. I did kind of want to hear about, you know, where social media fits in and social media content, that is, when it comes to some of these really creative activations that Buffalo Wild Wings does, you know, whether it is a commercial or most recently, let's take the example of the Cleveland Browns kind of season tickets inside Buffalo Wild Wings and how that comes together and how you guys convey it on social media. Is it a pretty standard set of assets? And to use a team analogy, it's almost like activating for a partner, or is it like, here's what we're doing, give us your ideas on how best to convey this on social media, or maybe it's a combination thereof?
Yeah, I think the activation stuff, I think we've been, you know, that's an area that the brand is really trying to explore more of. Is doing more of that stuff, and I think we've had some good wins there. But I think they, you know, I think they want to get even heavier into that. In terms of how it relates to social, I mean, you know, anytime we have a fun thing going on in the company, whether it's an activation or anything else, you know, we're always trying to think about, you know, how can we talk about this in social in a fun and unique and interesting way. Mm-hmm. We, you know, with the Browns one, I mean, that's an obviously an easy one, right? We can. You know, Browns fans are going to be pumped about this. We're bringing the experience into the bar for them. You know, I think that's an easy one to do on social. There are some that are a little bit more challenging, but at the end of the day, you know, it's on us and our agency partners to kind of put our heads together and, you know, figure out, like, you know, what can we do that in social that's on brand, that, you know, makes sense, that kind of, you know, people won't think this is out of left field or kind of not doesn't fit with what Buffalo Wild Wings is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all talk together and then we come up with okay, what is we've got the idea, what are the assets, what's the copy, you know, and then we go with it. And, you know, we don't necessarily want to overthink it, but you know, we certainly, you know, like I said before, want to be intentional about what we're putting out there and how we're promoting different things. So for the activation stuff, like how do we promote this in a way that you know, elevates this activation even further. or sometimes is even the central piece of the activation, if, depending on what it is. So, it's a process. We work with a couple different teams in the organization to make that happen, and then we go from there.
Tell me briefly, what's 2020 been like, man? Like, we talked earlier, you know, Buffalo Wings is really this place that we congregate on, you know, to hang out with friends and watch sports and have a good time and to meet up with buddies. And then all of a sudden everything shuts down and it becomes a largely, you know, to-go order. I know a lot of restaurants have opened back up or are starting to open back up, hence the Browns activation. When things did shut down and things have to pivot a little bit, like, what was it like from your seat and from your team's seats of, hey, now our goals might be different, our story might be different, or is it? And kind of take me a little bit into what 2020 has been like for Buffalo Wild Wings social media.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, 2020 has been crazy for a lot of folks, right? And, you know, I think for us, the social media part has probably been one of the things that's been least impacted of all the areas of the business. I mean, certainly when you think about the operations of operating a Buffalo Wild Wings in this environment, it's you know, drastically different than in normal life, right? We essentially made all of our sports bars, you know, a takeout business for a while dining rooms were closed and our e-commerce was, you know, went through the roof, obviously, because that was the only way people could order. So, you know, you think about those teams and, you know, they're drastically changing the way they operate. For us, you know, I think we were really, for a while, it was just kind of avoiding pitfalls, just making sure that we were really sticking to, okay, this is the service we can provide for you right now. You know, we have takeout, we have delivery, you know, we have menu items. This is what we have. You know, sometimes it was, you know, updates on for specific hours, customer service issues, things like that. And then, after we kind of got through that first month, I'd say, and we realized like that we were going to kind of be in this new normal for a while. Then we started to kind of, you know, put our caps back on and think about, you know, how could we really advance the brand again? Obviously, you know, with us and you know, with social media, we're obviously fortunate that, you know, our team can work from anywhere. So it's not like we have to be in the office. We can communicate pretty easily, you know, and do our jobs fairly efficiently from wherever. I'd say that while there's certainly been some adjustments in terms of how we work, it largely hasn't been as big of a deal for our department as it is for other departments. I mean, I you know, the whole Buffalo Wild Wings organization deserves a ton of credit for the way that they've shifted and reacted and responded to this whole thing. And sometimes I feel guilty because I'm like, well, my role is not a ton different from what it used to be.
Does the messaging change a little at all? Like when you guys are normally more talking about or thinking about, you know, we're here for game day, you want to be on site, it's all about having a good time and getting together with tons of people and high-fiving random strangers. And now all of a sudden it's, hey, you know, don't forget you can bring this experience home, or, you know, we still have the wings that you've come to love, and, you know, don't forget about our food and what you guys can bring home and take out perspective. Or I obviously the brand doesn't change, can't change overnight. But does some of that messaging, like, did you guys go to talking more about the food, more about, you know, why they would want to come and grab a takeout order?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head in terms of how the messaging shifted. Obviously, you know, it's irresponsible of us to promote, you know, come to Buffalo Wild Wings and hang out and watch sports with all your friends. Yeah, I mean, the messaging was completely different, and that's, you know, that was one thing that we had to adjust to. And, you know, it obviously took some time, I think, for the entire industry to really get adjusted to promoting, you know, this new normal of obviously be responsible and social distance and, you know, get takeout, get delivery. You know, the industry was kind of all battling at the same time for that kind of messaging shift. But, it has been a shift. You know, I think with sports coming back over the past couple months, that's been a huge boost for us just in terms of what we can talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still not doing a ton of, hey, come in and hang out with your buddies and watch. Right. But it is nice to have sports back and to kind of tie that back into the conversation and back into the brand. You know, for social, that's been great for us to just kind of be able to talk about sports again. And you know, we'll see, right? Like who knows what you get the rest of this year in 2021 is going to bring. I mean, there, you know, there's obviously a bunch of scenarios where, you know, things could get back to normal next year. There's a scenario where it could get worse. There's a scenario where, you know, it could stay the way it is now for a long time. And so we're kind of, you know, scenario planning for all of those right now and trying to figure out like how we're going to message moving forward. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everybody who's involved, you know, anyone who's involved with social media right now, they're all kind of, you know, as is every industry, trying to adjust to what life is like in 2020 and beyond.
Oh, it's super interesting to think about. Last one for you, Jared. I want to squeeze this one in, and then we'll get to the terrible stat. I kind of just want to hear about like what a busy game day is like, so that you guys can sort of be ready to jump into conversations and be ready to strike at the right moment with content. Is there like a war room? Is it just an active Slack conversation or group chat? Like following along with, hey, this crazy game is getting crazier. Like, what can Buffalo Wild Wings do to be part of this conversation? Like, whether it's a busy NFL Sunday or college football Saturday, or March Madness. I mean, obviously, 2020 notwithstanding, what's the operation like on one of those days?
Yeah, I think we're fortunate that, you know, our team we're all sports fans by default. So whether it's doing it for our job or just watching casually, you know, we're going to be tuned in. And I think that makes it a lot easier to have these conversations about, you know, when to jump in real time. Mm-hmm. You know, we do use Slack. I think that's a pretty common thing. You know, and sometimes text just to kind of figure out like, hey, this is a hot thing. You know, can we jump in here? What do we have to say? But yeah, there's no real war room per se or official, you know, official get together. We have in the past gotten together for the Super Bowl just because that's a big one for the brand. You know, it's one of our busiest sales days of the year, and it's also with the activation and the, you know, the PR press we get around that, we want to be able to kind of monitor. So we have gotten together for Super Bowl, but yeah, nothing else. We do talk probably daily at night, especially now that sports are back. There's always Slack conversations going back and forth about, you know, what's happening and, you know, is this something that makes sense for us to get into? And that's kind of how we've tackled it.
Did you guys use a social like listening platform to pick up on sentiment or keywords or mentions of you guys?
Yeah. So we actually have two, that we use. We use, Spark Central, mm-hmm. which we really like as a kind of response platform. It allows us to kind of flag the, you know, influencers talking about the brand, people talking about the brand, conversation around the brand. And then in terms of kind of just larger volume conversation topics, we use NetBase. Mm-hmm. And that allows us to really pick up on sentiment and volume of conversation and conversation topics that may start trending and bubbling up, you know, as well as obviously some proactive stuff around like, if we have a new menu item, tracking how that's doing, or a big, you know, PR activation, you know, trying to figure out like, you know, what the potential impression numbers are there, sentiment, things like that. So yeah, those two tools have been super helpful for us. We use both daily.
That's awesome. Oh, man, I feel like I've opened up a bunch of other pathways now we can go down, but we will pick your brain a little bit more in the overtime segment, so get ready for that. But first, this episode's terrible stat, and we'll be right back with that. Such a great chat with Jared Wilson, manager of social media content for Buffalo Wild Wings. Really enjoyed picking his brain, learning about his time with the Hawks, learning about what it was like to transition into a much different industry in the restaurant and slash food industry, and cool to hear how they integrate into sports and activate their campaigns. Just so much good stuff with Jared, but stick around because we're going to have a little more fun with Jared in our quick hitting question segment. But first, this episode's Shareable Stat. This episode's Shareable Stat looks at a recent survey of Gen Z in the United States, particularly teenagers, and a couple of stats that I'm going to share with you. First, when asked what social media platform is their favorite, 34% of U.S. teens pick Snapchat. That was the number one on their list, the top of the list, so to speak. 34% said Snapchat is their favorite platform, followed by TikTok at 29% and Instagram at 25%. So those are your top three as far as what they said as their favorite. If you look at the time spent on apps for U.S. teenagers, then Instagram is at the top, has a slight lead over Snapchat at 84% to 80%. So certainly IG and Snapchat were where they're spending the most time, and 69% of their time is spent, 69% was TikTok as far as their usage, and which apps teens use the most. So it's an interesting stats for sure. You know, Snapchat oftentimes gets looked at as something that's kind of on, in the grave or just kind of there. And it, yes, it is primarily used a lot as a messaging platform, but that the Discover content, the brand content, the stories still remains, you know, a piece that people check out, not to mention the lenses and the filters. And it's certainly a platform to keep an eye on because Gen Z does favor it, does spend some a lot of time in it every day. So as we always say, you don't want to have to be everywhere. You'd rather be the best at a couple of platforms than try to be everywhere and just be mediocre. But certainly a stat to step back as you think about how to reach Gen Z. 34% said that Snapchat is their favorite platform. That was the number one on the list for this 2020 survey. And 80% use Snapchat regularly, just behind Instagram at 84%. So some good stats. As always, think about it, talk about it, ponder it, and maybe take some action on it. But stick around for some more fun with Jared Wilson of Buffalo Wild Wings. Right back from this episode's Charitable Stat, and I am wiping my face after eating a ton of wings with Jared through Zoom, or maybe not, but I wouldn't mind some right now. I'm getting hungry. But Jared had a great time in your interview. Are you now ready for some overtime?
I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm excited for this regardless.
Hey, Buffalo Wild Wings pushed the overtime button, so we are officially in overtime. Number one for you. Going back to your days with the Hawks, tell me the most memorable social media post from your time with the Hawks. Just the one that sticks with you, that's number one for you.
Man, there were a few. I think the two that come to mind, the first one is a post we did, and it really spoke to the authenticity of the brand. It also got me in trouble, but I'm not afraid to say that. was a post we did after we lost game two of the 2016 conference semis against Cleveland. It was a game where the Cavs at the time had set the record for the most three-pointers made in a playoff game. I think they made like 25 threes that night or something. They beat us by I'm not even exaggerating. I think they beat us by like 50 points. And it was so bad. And, you know, it's the playoffs, right? Because, so, you know, if you're a fan, we always try to think through the eyes of the fans. You're pissed. And so, you know, we didn't really want to sugarcoat the disappointment with some, you know, positive, oh, there's all, you know, we'll get them next game or anything like that. Like, we wanted to you know, convey the raw emotion that we were feeling. And so we put out what's usually a final score graphic, except we replaced our score with the crying emoji face. Or, I'm sorry, the crying Jordan face.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it was like Cavs win. It was Cavs 150, Hawks crying emoji, or I keep saying crying emoji, Jordan emoji. And so, yeah, using crying Jordan in that moment was, I felt like that was real. It got a little bit of pushback from the front office, as did a lot of things when I was there. But it was real. It was raw. It was authentic. And you know, I think the fans appreciated it. I mean, that was the emotion they were feeling in the moment.
Totally. That's what gets you that credibility and that trust of the fans and gets them to connect with that brand. Like, it's just perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, let's go back in time even further, back to Fox 21 out in Colorado. Tell me your favorite project or story you got to work on during your time there.
Oh boy. Yeah, I didn't really cover stories. I was more of like the internet desk nerd when I was there. So,
is there one that was put out while you were there that you just, whether you got to put up on the website and
yeah, remember? I don't know why this is the one I think of. You know, most of what we did there was hard news. There wasn't a ton of fluff, mm-hmm. but there was this one, and then I guess you can consider it hard news where, there was a check that was, so I was at the news desk, so I got to take a lot of calls from a lot of random viewers, you know, with story pitches and, you know, people who think that they've got stories that are interesting that really aren't. But one that was kind of weird, and you got to remember, this is Colorado Springs, right? This isn't like LA or New York. And I'm going to get the story wrong, so people can Google it and get the full thing. A guy wrote a check to somebody for $1 million, and he didn't have the money. I mean, it bounced, But the woman, it may have been another guy, I can't remember, but essentially whoever got the check was thinking that they were actually going to get $1 million. And they were so devastated when the check bounced because they legit thought, like, I am a millionaire. And you got to think of, think about it from their perspective. Like, it was, I can't ever imagine getting a check like that, right? That'll, in all likelihood, never happen for me. But if you do, for whatever reason, you've got to think, like, there's got to be a part of you that thinks, man, like, this could change my life.
Oh, yeah.
It was just one of those things that was so bizarre that, and I don't know why I remember it, but it was, I think I remember it because it got so many clicks on the website. but it was just, yeah, like, man writes forged $1 million check or whatever the headline was, but it was just extremely bizarre. we're talking 10 years ago. So this is, I'm clearly not getting all the details right, but
that's awesome. You gotta love it. That's clickbait. I would click on that. I'm sure there's probably a lot of fun headlines you could do with that as well.
I'd click on it too.
Number three, we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings. If you and I go there once everything opens back up and you come out to visit me in LA, we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings. What's your go-to order there?
My go-to order is, I love Parmesan garlic sauce. I think Buffalo Wild Wings has awesome Parm garlic. So my go-to order is a 15-piece boneless Parmesan garlic. And I'll do it on Thursdays because you get the BOGO deal. So you end up getting 30 of them. So you can save them for the next day. But yeah, that's my favorite. Although I will say, Buffalo, and this is a little bit of a shameless plug, but I really believe it. We've come out, our culinary team has come out with some awesome sauces in the 2.5 years I've been here. We've got an original Buffalo sauce. They just came out with lemon pepper sauce. They've got orange chicken sauce now. I mean, they've got some options that really tempt me in terms of swaying from my Parmesan garlic. But that's my go-to.
I love it. I remember one of my jobs, I worked right next to Buffalo Wings. We would go there quite a bit. And I always remember them walking around like, here's a sample of our new sauce you can try. So it's almost like going to Costco. You get to try all the new things and see what you like.
There's a lot of sauces, but I would encourage anyone to go in there and at least take a look at it.
Oh, I love it. Shameless plug, but it's very much on point, and I asked you to. Number four, let's stick with Buffalo Wild Wings, but let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings social. Tell me the most popular social media post from Buffalo Wild Wings during your time there so far.
So popular in terms of, like, retweets, I believe it is. So in 2018, we kind of played off – when the AP college football poll was released, we played off of a meme that was going around that was basically counting everything down from 25 to 1, but it was, I don't know if you remember this, it was like you formulated one sentence, but each word was on its own line, and they were like numbered. So we took advantage of that kind of meme and kind of wrote our own thing. And I don't have a post in front of me, but I'm sure you can probably look it up, but it was essentially saying, like, you know, college football is here, the poll's been released, and, you know, good luck to everybody this season, whatever. You know, we don't know what the rankings are going to be. And then number one was just Bama, because, like, regardless of anything else in terms of what you thought the AP poll was going to be, like, you just knew Bama was going to be number one, right? So we ended it with Bama, and that really got a stir, obviously, from the Alabama fans. They loved it. And then also from the Auburn crowd who had opinions. So that was a fun one. It was fun to see that kind of take off and get some traction.
Yeah.
I think that's probably still our top one. We've had some pretty good ones. We've had a lot of stuff that's kind of landed, but you know, that's the one that comes to mind.
That's so great. I know both you and I are big college football fans, and so I'm sure there could be lots of ideas floating around your head and stuff that you maybe tweet on your own account or put in the drafts, because it's too much on a college game day. But it's probably, there's so much fun to be had there, and clearly you guys hit on something really well with that one. All right, number five. This is kind of going to your philosophy. You've been in social media now for a long time, you know, and years are more like dog years in social media as well. So tell me, in your career, what's that number one social media like mantra or guiding principle for you?
Oh man, am I allowed to say capitalize the first letter of the sentence? Like, I don't understand why.
Well,
I don't understand why people tweet in all lowercase. Like, it just does not make any sense to me. I cringe. and then kind of going along with that, one thing that kind of irks me, and this is neither one of these are an answer to your question, but one thing that irks me is brands who use first person singular, who say like, I think that is the craziest and thing. Like, I just don't it's just so like unprofessional. So those two things are things that really bother me. But I think that, you know, for me as a journalism major, the number one mantra guiding principle is just like, double check before you post. I mean, just read everything twice, three times, whatever. I mean, you see so many grammar errors, typos, you know, misprints, incorrect links that just, you know, at the very least make a brand look unprofessional. Oh, wow. And at worst case scenario could you know, you could lose your job, right? You know, we've seen that happen in social media sometimes where somebody just isn't thinking and they fire something off and it obviously gets interpreted the wrong way, and you know, it's screenshotted and gone viral before they even have a chance to delete it. So you know, your career is really on the line, and you, like, sometimes, you know, a lot of those mistakes you'll just notice if you just read it again. I think that's probably the one that I'd go with.
Yeah, I like that. It's, you know, prevent the preventable errors, you know, no unforced errors. There's no reason to have that out there. All right, number six for you, Jared. I'm interested to hear about this. So when you left the Hawks, you know, you had a stir in the industry when you put out really just some hard truth about what it's like to work in social media and sports, and the endless hours for, you know, relatively meager pay, and that there's a lot to think about when you're making that decision to have that lifestyle, have that work-life balance or lack thereof. So just tell me about the decision to kind of put that out there for the public to be able to digest that and sort of explain the benefits and costs of working for a sports team.
Yeah, I really didn't expect that post to kind of go the way it did in terms of as far-reaching. You know, I was really putting it out there kind of just for my colleagues. But I think it was important for people to hear that and to read that. When you're working in sports, I mean, you're going to work nights and weekends and holidays. Like, that's just what it's going to be. Your schedule is somewhat dependent on what the team's schedule is. And that's just the way it is. And then that's what you sign up for. And I knew that. And then that was not the frustration.
Yeah.
I think the frustration comes with, and I, you know, I heard this echoed from, you know, almost universally from all the social managers out there, is I don't think that the leadership necessarily understands the schedule. I think they, you know, games are, you know, there's a lot of people in the organization that do attend games, but it's not necessarily required, right? Like, if someone has, you know, an appointment, or, you know, if they just want to go spend time with their family, they don't have to go to the game. Well,
right.
You know, I think for social, you do. And of course, social people aren't the only ones that have to. There's a, you know, a bunch of departments. I mean, the PR departments at these teams are like, their hours are even worse because they have to travel and they've got to be at every single practice and shoot around the game and all that. So it's not just social. But, you know, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between the social teams and leadership in terms of everything that the social teams do, both, you know, at the office, at the arena, and also at home, in terms of how much they're working. And I think it was just important for me, you know, as someone who was leaving the industry, to, you know, put this out there for awareness. You know, I think there's a lot of people, and I got a lot of messages after I wrote that article from people who agreed with me and said, you know, this, I wish I could say this, but I'm afraid if I put this out there, I'll lose my job. And I think that was my motivation for doing that was, you know, obviously I don't have any fear of losing my job. I've left on good terms, and I'm moving on in my career. But there are a lot of people who are in these positions, and, you know, we don't know their situation. Maybe they can't leave. Maybe this is what they need to do to you know, provide for their family. Or maybe they're just not comfortable leaving or whatever, but they agree that, you know, the work-life balance needs to improve, and, you know, the cost benefit needs to improve. And it's never going to be great. You know, sports teams' budgets are finite, and, mm-hmm. You know, there's only so much you can do about the hours, but I think that it was important to raise awareness to the issue. And obviously I'm glad I did it because I got a lot of good responses.
I appreciate you talking about that. I mean, I can remember when I was starting out and, you know, working those crazy hours as well. And I think one day I sat down and started to figure out, I wonder what my hourly wage would be. And I stopped because it was going to be so low. It's going to be just laughable. And you realize, you know, that's what you signed up for. And there's a lot to love about it. But you have to know what you're getting into. And I think that, you know, the industry is certainly getting better all the time, where, you know, there's certainly more of an appreciation for personal health, mental health. And certainly as, you know, our generation moves up in the space, and you see people that were in those roles, you know, 10 years ago, they're moving up to more senior level roles, that, you know, hopefully everyone will have a greater appreciation for really what goes into these, because they truly are 24/7 jobs. And I appreciate you talking about that experience.
Yeah, no problem.
Number seven, let's have some fun. You were at Mizzou at one of the best times for the athletics there, as you and I sort of chat about offline. So tell me the most memorable game that you attended while you were a student at Missouri.
So as a student, it's an easy one. In 2007, the football team was playing Kansas, which was their arch rival at the time, both, you know, two Big 12 schools. And Kansas was 11. This was the last game of the regular season. Kansas was 11-0. Missouri was 10-1. So the winner of the game would obviously, it's a rivalry game already. And then the winner would win the division and go to the Big 12 championship. Mm-hmm. I think they were ranked number 2 and number 4, and number 1 LSU had lost the day before. So basically the teams were playing to see who would be the number 1 team in the nation after the regular season ended. And the game was at Arrowhead Stadium, so it was literally a 50-50 split in terms of fans. By far the coolest environment I've ever been in, and Missouri won the game, so they had a week where they were – you know, they won the division. They went to the Big 12 championship game. They were ranked number 1. You know, Chase Daniel was a Heisman finalist that year. So it was a really special year for Missouri football. And that game was amazing. I mean, it was great.
That's so cool, man. What a fun time to be there. That's awesome. One day they'll get back there. Of course, it's got to be different. It's got to be kind of weird almost. Now you went there; they were in the Big 12. Now they're in the SEC. It's different for sure, but still awesome to be able to cheer them on. And what an experience to be there during that time too.
For sure, yeah.
Number 8. If I come visit you in Atlanta, and we go somewhere besides Buffalo Wild Wings, tell me the best meal to get in Atlanta besides B-Dubs, and where to get it.
Oh boy, gosh, that's like. That's such a hard one because Atlanta is such a good food town.
I know. Take your time.
This is going to be a little bit off the wall, and I'll probably get some criticism from a bunch of people who live in Atlanta for saying this, but there is a place. So Buford Highway, which is a road here in northeast Atlanta, which is really known for like international cuisine. They have I want to say it's almost like a combination, like bowl, like it's a specialty kind of fajita type thing that they have. And I love it. It's got like, you can obviously customize it, but it's essentially, you know, you choose your meat, and I always go with steak. It comes with like bacon and onions. It's got, you know, like pico, tomatoes, cheese, avocado mixed in. It's just a really good, just a fantastic meal at a really, like, you know, good part of town for good food. It's called El Rey del Taco. It's a taqueria, and I don't get it very often, but I look forward to it every single time because for me, it makes two meals, and it's just fantastic. But really, that whole stretch of Buford Highway is really, really good if you're into really anything for international in terms of cuisine. It's a really good stretch of town to go get food.
Very nice. My mouth is watering. So we'll grab Buffalo Wild Wings as an appetizer earlier in the day, and then we'll go to El Rey Little Taco for dinner.
It's really good, man. It's really good. And I guarantee you, if you asked like 100 people in Atlanta like that same question, I don't think. Well, first of all, there's a chance you might get 100 different answers, but I don't think anybody would say that place. It's just one of those like personal favorites for me.
Oh, I love it. Hey, it sounds good to me too. Number 9 for you, Jared. This is a good one. Tell me about the non-sports brand. Besides Buffalo Wild Wings, obviously, that does a good job on social media, and why? What's one that kind of stands out to you?
The one that comes to mind right now, again, because I'm in the food industry now, I follow a lot of food brands. Mm-hmm. And, I think a brand that's really well balanced on a bunch of different social channels is Chipotle.
Yeah.
I think they're super creative on TikTok. They kind of take you behind the scenes and show you how to make stuff. They've got a lot of menu hack type stuff on TikTok that I think is really good. I think they're just super authentic. They do a lot of like really interesting, cool stuff on Instagram stories as well. I just think that the content they put out is, it's just super relatable, right? It's not necessarily all like high production quality. It's some of it's kind of lo-fi content, which I think is often the content that works the best. I just have a lot of respect for what they do. I think they're a fun follow, and
that's a great one. I think that you're spot on. They do such a great job and really do understand the platforms and also understand their brand. The messaging they put out there is usually pretty relevant as well.
Yeah.
All right, number 10, last one for you. this is gonna be a fun one. Which happens first? Does Mizzou football win the SEC championship, or does Mizzou men's basketball make a Final Four?
Oh, boy.
So it's a really tough one to end on. But
yeah, I think it's – I mean, obviously both are long shots, right? But I think you have to go Final Four just because the tournament is so random.
Yeah.
You see – it seems like every year you see a team get there for, the first time in their school history. So, you get hot in the regular season, maybe get like a 4 or 5 seed and then catch a couple breaks in the tournament and you're there. But I just think, in football, with just so many powerhouses in the SEC, it's going to be really, really difficult for Mizzou to break through. They were actually in the SEC championship 2 of their first 3 years in the conference. But they got lit up pretty good in both. And I just think it's, I trust that they'll get back to a place where they can at least be competing in the SEC, but that's awfully tough to do. It seems like the metrics would say a Final Four, as unlikely as it is probably more likely.
Hey, we'll be happy either way. As long as they start working that direction, and we hopefully we both have a lot of years ahead of us, and we'll be able to see one of those two things happen at least.
For sure, I hope so.
All right, Jared, you knocked it out of the park in overtime. You hit the game-winning buzzer beater, whatever analogy you want to use. But now it's your chance to take over the podcast from me and just tell us your social media all-star to follow. Typically someone on Twitter, but just tell us who they are and why they're worth following.
Oh, I probably should have thought about this before right now. Gosh, who do I follow that I really, really like? I mean, this is a common one, obviously, but Worldwide Wob is super creative. It seems like he's just so consistent with, he's on it, right? I mean, he takes those highlights and like within seconds of them happening, they're on his feed in a really, fun way. I think his copywriting is super relatable and relevant. The thing I like about him too, is he finds those unique moments in the games and maybe the average fan would miss. For those who don't know, I'm talking about basketball.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, I've always liked him. I've just always liked the way he approaches it, where he, you know, he's like, whether it's the mascot, you know, tripping in the stands and nobody would notice because you're watching the game, or, you know, whatever the case may be. He's, you know, he's just always on it. He's clearly like glued to every game and watching and waiting for those moments. He's the first one that comes to mind. There's obviously so many, but
it's a great one. And just wanted to get inspired by him. He's done it. He's come a long way from when he started, and he grinds and he has a lot of fun and he's really good at what he does. And it's cool to see him, you know, continue to grow and really get rewarded for all that hard work. And I think now he's at the Action Network. Is that where he is? Or
last I heard,
he's definitely gotten picked up elsewhere.
I should know that, but
yeah. No, it's definitely a good one though. And no matter where he is, I will follow World Wide Wob or whatever his latest clever Twitter display name is, which changes constantly. And how about you, Jared? Where can we find you as well as all things Buffalo Wild Wings on digital and social media?
Well, you can find me at my handle, Jared Wilson, and it's weird. You can blame my mom for the spelling, but it's Jared Wilson. You can find me there,
you know.
Twitter, Instagram. And then Buffalo Wild Wings is BW Wings on Twitter and Instagram, and then Buffalo Wild Wings on TikTok. So, again, I think those fancy blue check marks will help you find the Buffalo Wild Wings accounts if you just want to search Buffalo Wild Wings. But, we'd love for anyone who's interested to follow us.
No, definitely worth following. They such a great job of really conveying their brand and going into their brand, having fun. And, you know, I think exactly what we talked about is exactly what I feel about Buffalo Wild Wings when I think about them as a brand. And that speaks well to you and the great team there on Buffalo Wild Wings and working for the brand. So really appreciate you taking time to speak with us today. It's never a slow time there. And, you know, only more fun ahead as more sports start back up and more restaurants open back up. And it was great to learn from you today, Jared. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Neil. This was a lot of fun, man.
Next time we'll have to meet up for some wings and steak bowls.
Yes, let's do it.
Thank you so much again to Jared Wilson, manager of social media content for Buffalo Wild Wings for B-Dubs. Really fun conversation. Learned a lot from him. Really thoughtful, articulate, gets the space, and really is doing some great things there at Buffalo Wild Wings. You can see the difference since he got there, and the brand is really strong. They're a fun follow. They engage on the platform, on Twitter in particular, and just really cool stuff, and I appreciate his time today. And that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. As always, I thank you for listening and downloading. I am your host, Neil Horowitz. Hit me up on Twitter, NJH287. Find me on LinkedIn. Visit the website, dsmsports.net. And until next time, this is Neil Horowitz signing off for the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.